Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday. Wow, what a... it feels like it's been a good week since last we've done this.
Yeah, it has. Nice little vacation, but I'm glad to be back. It was like one of those things, was like, I just want a week where no work, no radio.
No having to deal with Sean. Yeah, no. I get it.
But you and I are texting each other back and forth. I was like, miss you. Delete.
It's really the nicest thing I do for all year is give him a week away from me right after LaPeer days.
And then, so I told Dorothy, I was like, yeah, I've got a week off, no work, no radio. It's going to be great. And then she works every damn day. Well, she had one day off, and they wanted to work her on Wednesday. And I'm like, all of a sudden, like, the roles were reversed. I'm like, you're gone all the time, and I'm home with the kid. I want you to stay home with me. And she's like, okay, honey, stop. I know you're on your monthly period. I was like, I wish you wouldn't refer to it like that. But yeah.
Sensitive.
Yeah, well, yeah, she was supposed to have, like, Tuesday, Wednesday off. She ended up working Tuesday, and they're like, yeah, they want me to work on Wednesday. I'm like, no.
Absolutely not.
No, no, I said, it's up to you. But I kind of like when a woman of yours goes,
You did the whole full-on passive-aggressive thing.
100%.
Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want never means do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want. It's fine. I don't care.
Then you ignore her the rest of the evening.
No, because she heard that rattlesnake rattle. She's like, I can't. Sorry, gals. I can't come out to play that day. My bunny husband. But yeah, so yeah, it was a lot of like watching the kid and reading to the kid and taking the kid for walks when it wasn't torrential rain out,
which was like most of the week.
Another storm yesterday. Another tornado. I mean, did we like off God or something? Like, this is like biblical over here.
Created. Haven't you seen Facebook? TikTok or something.
So, I was like, no, we didn't just leave. We didn't leave Sanilac County. Why are you dumping on me like this?
Yeah, normally the storms don't do all that unless we're like coming back from a live remote somewhere.
Yeah, Mother Nature's like, Solid City Radio is leaving Sanilac County after doing a remote. You guys know what to do. Thunder, I'm in. Lightning, I'm in. Tornado, you know it. Hail? Hail, yeah.
It's like they know. I don't know what it is. At least this year we didn't get dumped on during LaPeer Day, so you know that's a small victory.
That is about right. I mean, the temperatures were about perfect. It wasn't too hot, not too cold. Sun was shining. It was a great weekend. So thank you to everybody who came out and said hello. Definitely appreciate that. The bees, though. I've been coming to LaPeer Days for over 30 years. I don't remember the bees like they were this year. This was ridiculous.
I mean, they always swarm like where Bayou Billy has the soda and things set up.
Sure.
But never just randomly where we're at.
Yeah, not on our side of the town. Oh, you want to hang around the Republican or the Democrat tent?
I mean,
election was stolen.
I mean, if you want to go over and sting the Confederate flag booth, guys, that's fine. Go for it. But
South will rise again. Lock them up. But I mean, yeah, I mean, it was the same way at the carnival, because we went there on Sunday. It was everywhere, and I don't remember bees being that bad.
I don't either, but apparently this year they were just after us. Apparently they really just don't like radio guys.
They loved everything we were drinking, which is weird because it wasn't just Coca-Cola, but you know.
You see, outside of all of that, the rain kept them away from you.
Yeah, right.
So which one do you like better?
Can I have both?
Or neither.
Neither. I want all the bees and all the rain. I'm wet and I got stung. This sucks.
Yeah, that's all we need. So it sounds like you certainly had a productive vacation, that's for sure.
Not as productive as I wanted. I wanted to get a lot of stuff down in the house. And then Dorothy decides to checkmate that.
Oh?
She has made the decision that tomorrow we're pulling up the carpet in the living room.
Why?
It's old carpet. It's nasty. It's coming apart. It's like old shag. And And she's been wanting to get rid of it for the longest time. Finally, I relented. I'm like, fine, fine. We're going to pull up the carpet. I don't want to pull up the carpet. I didn't want to pull up the carpet because I don't know what's underneath. There's a lot of, there's some sketchy stuff going on in that house. She's like, well, I open it up a little bit and it's plywood. I was like, great. What's underneath the plywood? Is it just subflooring? Is it,
it's like a guy with a beard. Yeah. He's shaving, suddenly they got no chin.
No chin.
Double,
It's got jowls. Like, grow that back real quick. But yeah, I don't know. I open it up. There's like a big, you know, pentagram or something.
Oh my gosh.
It turns out, wow, this house really was built on an ancient burial ground.
These are tombstones. What? Yeah,
look at that. Isn't that something?
Pocahontas?
But, yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting to like see like a bunch of Confederate money under there, but I just don't want to have be looking through the boards into my basement.
Yeah, that would not be good.
So, because we're going to have to replace the plywood and put some other flooring on it. It's sounds like it could become a very big, expensive deal.
What, would you replace it with carpet? Or
just, no, we're not going to go with carpet. We're going to go with wood, and then we're going to put a big old throw rug on there. One of those big ones you can get over at Home Depot.
Right.
Not proud sponsor of Sal's Day Radio, but it can be.
Because the right
then if that gets all dirty and everything else, you just roll that up, put a fake foot sticking out of it, you throw that out for the garbage.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
you know,
and then watch the fun.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. Yellow tape.
So, yeah, that's going to be my fun is hoisting this. Because we got to get everything out of the living room, pull up that carpet, and it's just nasty. It needs to go. I mean, there's big chunks of it coming out. But I just don't, I'm not looking forward to it. It's kind of one of those things I'm hoping I get home from the radio show tonight and say, guess what? We already did it. And it's like, cool.
We weren't waiting for you.
So what you're saying is that after sessions, you're coming over for drinks and, you know, hockey fights on YouTube.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'll leave the doghouse open for you.
Don't answer it. It's her. I know you're in there. Come tear up my carpet. What are you people looking at?
Yeah, I'm just keeping
mind
that
your business.
I'm just gonna keep that door locked once you get in, and nothing. Like we'll have that thing fortified, like some kind of military installation.
Military? No, it'll be like one of those zombie movies where just knocked out of the bunker. Go check out and make sure it's okay. Nah, I'm not going out there. You go out there.
Right, I really need to get a Ring camera for the outside of the doghouse, I think.
Oh, that would not be a bad idea
at all.
That way, then we don't have to worry about these things as much. Although right. I assume, honestly, who's going to be showing up there other than you? I mean, do I really? Anyone else would probably give me some sort of heads up. Like, hey, there's someone out there who's really like really wants to see Adam. Like, Adam? What Adam? Never heard of him.
Like Adam and Eve?
No, he's not here. He said he was going to be a good husband and take care of the carpet in the living room. That's where he's at.
But he had
nudge, nudge. He's behind the door.
Oh, like I'm going to sell you out? That doesn't benefit me at all.
Sure.
Might be amusing, sure, but not enough so to sell you out. Did you hear something, Adam? No, all I hear is Darren McCarty beating the crap out of some guy. Yeah. I don't hear anything.
I heard his commentary. I know it. I know he's in there.
Just hear him. I heard him, and they're just yelling the names of random hockey players. Tony Twist.
And I know he's the only guy that remembers Tony Twist.
That's also probably true.
Put Tony Twist on the apology list, please.
Probably should, because we don't need him showing up here.
He can kill me, and he's got the time to do it.
He does. What else is he really doing these days? So we have a lot of stuff to get to today. Yeah. Got a little bit of Lions talk that we're going to have to get to later in the show.
Lions.
We'll do some unsolicited advice coming up.
Woo-hoo.
And I know you've already warned me that you have a list that is most likely undoubtedly trash. So all that we'll get to in pretty short order here this afternoon. Stick around. It is happy hour. Don't go anywhere. We're back right after this. It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. Brother Stone hanging out with us as well. So it seems like I have to address something going into tonight's preseason game, the last preseason game for your Detroit Football Lions as they get set to take on the Carolina Panthers in Carolina. And that is the issue of Jared Goff not getting any preseason action whatsoever. Apparently, there's a lot of folk out there that are really concerned that Goff hasn't played a single snap in the preseason. Dan Campbell's just holding him out. It's not like there's necessarily an injury-based reason that he hasn't played, but because, well, a number of things, really. The fact that you've got, in week one, you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium, the defending Super Bowl champions. People are concerned that, oh, Goff hasn't got any action. He's going to be rusty. He's not going to know what he's doing when he gets in there. He's still going to have a bunch of rust on him, and you're going to get embarrassed by Kansas City.
That is a fear, but, I mean, the guy's a professional. He's been to a Super Bowl. He did very well last season, so have a couple preseason games where he could possibly get injured. I can kind of see it. See the part of Dan Campbell.
There is an entirely, I think, rational reason not to play Goff in these games anyway, outside of that. But let's just take it right from the argument about how week one you're going to come out awful against the Chiefs. Here's the thing about that game. Literally nobody on earth expects you to win that game. Nobody. I don't think Jared Goff's own mother expects that.
She put $50 on Mahomes.
And really, who could blame her? No one expects you to win that game. And that's fair because they're the defending Super Bowl champions and you're the Lions. So, of course, nobody expects that. If you manage to even hang in there and be competitive in this game, quite frankly, that's a win. If you're even managing to go out there and play competitive football for 60 minutes against not one of the best teams in the NFL, but the best team in the National Football League, you're doing quite well. And you will have surpassed already just about everybody's expectations for that game.
For what it's worth, Vegas currently has KC favored by 6.5.
As well, they probably should. Honestly, you could argue they should have him favored by more.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I thought it'd be at least 2 touchdowns, but it looks like Vegas is showing them a little bit of love, question mark. The Lions, I mean.
And while I would make the argument that maybe some of your defensive starters should be going out there because it's not like Jared Goff's going to be out on the field at the same time as Patrick Mahomes. That's not what we're worried about here. Maybe you could argue that some of the new pieces on the secondary and the defense should be out there more. I don't really think it's going to do anything any great deal more to improve their odds of winning that game to have Goff out there playing meaningless snaps in Carolina, a place where the field was so bad last season, there was actually a grievance filed by the Players Association against Carolina,
right,
because that field was like playing in cement, and it's also supposed to be like 100 degrees tonight. Here, heat exhaustion plus a garbage field. That seems like a really good time to throw out Jared Goff without any of the starting off, because they're not, obviously your O-line's not going out there, and that's the position. Well, no one's worried about them because your starters there are pretty well solid. Meanwhile, there's a lot of guys still jockeying for position in the backups to the O-line. And you know what I don't want to do if I'm Dan Campbell? I don't want to send out Jared Goff behind my backup O-line and just hope he doesn't get killed and slammed to the cement turf in Carolina.
Right.
That is the last thing I want.
Exactly.
I don't think it makes a particular great deal of sense at all to put Jared Goff out in that situation. I wouldn't do it. I think Dan Campbell's absolutely making the right move here.
He does seem to be making the right decisions. If any season, last season was any kind of a harbinger, I'm excited. A lot of people are excited for the Lions this year.
And I don't really blame them for it. This is the best team we've seen so far. And for what it's worth, we've seen this this offseason here. There are some other issues that probably could stand to be addressed that are, well, currently being addressed, and these are the reason that I think Goff hasn't started. They're still kind of worried about Teddy Bridgewater and how he's acclimating to this team and developing chemistry. We saw Nate Sudfeld didn't have it at all, having basically played himself out of the QB2 conversation. But Bridgewater's not exactly yet clicking with this offense either. And if you send Jared Goff out and he just gets taken to the turf in this game with a bunch of backup O-line guys, and gets smacked on that cement field down there.
It's going to be the Bridgewater show.
It's going to be the Teddy Bridgewater show, and Bridgewater clearly is not hasn't caught up yet. Now you've just put your team in a worse position just to make the pundits feel that much better because they are convinced still that Jared Goff can't be the guy or can't at least be an above-average NFL quarterback. This, I feel like, comes back to it's been an ongoing thing ever since the Lions acquired Jared Goff that, oh, he's not that good. He was in a damn Super Bowl with the Rams. He's not that good. Get out of here with your nonsense. Was he the reason they made it there? No, arguably he was not. But he can play well enough to get you where you need with the system that this team has built up around him. You have an elite offensive line. You've got some nice weapons at wide receiver. You've had a piece or two at tight end. And to say nothing of Jahmyr Gibbs, who I'm hoping that's going to click once this season starts. But I feel like a lot of this is just rooted in, and I even heard it with some of the talking heads on other stations today going on about it. Oh, you know, if it was Patrick Mahomes, I would understand not putting him out there. If it was Aaron Rodgers, well, if Aaron Rodgers were still with the Packers anyway, I don't think anyone's going to say that Aaron shouldn't be out getting reps with a brand new team, even if he did bring half his old team with him. But it's Jared Goff. So I feel like what's not being said there is that people are still unwilling to admit that they were wrong about Jared Goff and are just doubling down on it because they absolutely refuse to admit, hey, maybe we were wrong about this guy. Maybe he actually is a competent, maybe even above average, good, if not great, NFL quarterback. But because we can't, in this business, we can't stand to be proven wrong or admit that we're wrong about anything. We have to go back to these arguments like, Jared Goff's going to be rusty. He is going to be terrible once this season starts. He needs all these reps because he's not good, and so on and so forth. And I think it's stupid. I think so much of it is based on people's biases and their prejudgment of the guy from before he ever came to this town, that I think it's still coloring their perception of the situation now.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the guy, they don't have a whole lot of faith in Goff. I mean, because he just played like the one season with the Lions, right? He's only got one under his belt.
He's got two.
Two. And so they're still nervous. And there's people that are still cautious because it is the Lions.
And I understand that. I understand the deep down, this is the Lions and they're going to eventually hurt me. I understand that more than yeah. I refuse to admit I was wrong about Jared Goff. I could understand the people who are like, well, it's the Lions, so I'm just kind of expecting disappointment. I get that. I've lived in this state. I was born and raised in Detroit. Trust me, I get it as much as anybody else. I understand that. What I don't get is, I was wrong about Goff, and he was actually pretty solid as a QB for this team last year, particularly in the second half of the season, and he wasn't the issues with this team when it wasn't good. I don't understand the people who can't just admit they were wrong about Goff. That's the thing that I don't get.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm not going to get that. Like, there are other legitimate things to be concerned about, far more than this, but the fact that you have so many questions in backup spots, like your O-line for one, you've still got certainly competition for RB3 and beyond, and you know, in the wide receiver game. And there's a reason that your starters aren't playing significant minutes, if any minutes, in these games, because there are still so many questions back there that need to be answered that aren't going to be answered in the joint practice. And they've done two joint practices with two different teams this season. We're not worried that Jared Goff's not going to be good. We're not worried that, you know, these guys who are already established here aren't going to be able to play. Like, we're worried that these guys who are backing up, if if someone on your O-line goes down. We're worried that, okay, are we going to be able to plug in someone who's not going to just turn into a gaping hole straight to our quarterback? These are the things we're concerned about.
Right.
These are the things Dan Campbell is clearly concerned about. And honestly, if it makes him feel better to run those guys out there and solidify those positions and answer those questions, I'm fine with benching your starter. Because let's be honest, people were concerned at the start of this season about Jameson Williams. Like, oh, he wasn't really impressing in training camp. He like had a nice catch or two in one of the preseason games. None of it matters. He's going to be out for six games no matter what because he couldn't not gamble at team facilities.
Right.
None of this matters. The momentum's not going to carry forward from preseason to week seven of the regular season. That's not going to happen. None of this is going to have mattered. It's just, you know, making people feel a little bit better about themselves when he's going to come out with the same rust he would have come out with, and probably more so because he's already out for that six games. So I feel like a lot of priorities for people are, to say the least, a tad bit misplaced, and I think we're going to figure that out real quickly as we go into the regular season. Plenty more to do this afternoon. Here's the Backseat Lovers at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Campbell. That's Brother Stone on a Friday afternoon. And apparently the bar to being a social media influencer has really just dropped through the floor, as it turns out.
We're all on YouTube. We're all influencers. We influence people to find another thing to watch on YouTube.
Are we on YouTube?
Somewhere.
I'm pretty sure I'm not. You that's all you.
I am, but we got a couple things on there, I think. I don't know. We should have our own YouTube channel. But anyway, I digress.
So you remember hearing about the woman who went into a tirade on a plane saying one of her fellow passengers wasn't real?
Not real.
Yes.
Yeah. She is apparently now a social media influencer. She's decided Tiffany Gomez, a Texas marketing executive, is rebranding as a glossy influencer focused on, quote, empowerment. Empowerment to be a whack job on planes, apparently? I don't know how that works.
Yeah, she went off.
In a new image posted to Instagram, Gomez appears relaxed and casual. The image shared on Instagram has already garnered thousands of likes and positive feedback from her admirers. She has admirers? Why?
I got two big reasons. You'll have to see the pictures to find out.
Fair. Yeah, right. She wrote on the accompanying caption, "One moment doesn't define you, but it can define your purpose."
Tell that to the bridge builder.
The glamorous appearance and positive vibes in the selfie have made a noticeable impact on her followers. One user even exclaimed, "Woman of the Year 2023, which if that's Woman of the Year 2023, we've really set a low bar for that too, evidently.
Yeah. Then Delaney has a chance.
I mean, not that she's an unattractive woman by any means, though, because certainly not.
She's kind of a smoke show.
A little bit.
Yeah, but does that but she's kind of crazy, though, yeah. Craziness?
No.
You lose your...
It sounded like there was some sort of argument over elbow rest or earbuds or something like that, and it escalated and escalated and escalated, and she would just... I mean, you saw the video.
Yeah, she called people effing delusional during a rant before storming off from officers who wanted her to hand over her ID. Calling them D-bags and everything else. In one moment, an air stewardess is seen trying to calm her down while asking her to leave as she films her own journey from the airplane to the bridge. Make sure you like and subscribe! So it was that... Everything about this just really makes next to no sense. Like, you've managed to make yourself a social media celebrity by having a meltdown on an airplane, and we've just decided that we're going to not only allow this but support it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's starting the whole thing. Now there's going to be a lot of people like, I can do that. I can do the very same thing.
Think about the multimillionaire that became that by just saying, "Catch me outside. How about that?"
Exactly.
No, you're not wrong.
But that was at least on national television where it was shot and they edited and everything. There was a lot of work on there. There was a conscious decision to put this crazy girl on
yeah,
on,
right.
on you... the, but that's Dr. Phil. He's like, let's roll with it. And, but now this one, I mean, it was all happenstance. It was all just in the moment. Traveling is not by airplane is not fun. So she had a meltdown, and I mean, kudos to her to making best of a bad situation. She's making some. If she's making some money off the deal, hey, go for it. Right. But then you got to kind of wonder, was it really a moment of mental? Was it a mental issue, mental breakdown? Was it a
was
chemical, or was it all planned?
Right. Now you kind of have to wonder, don't you?
Yeah.
Someone actually had wrote, she's posted 5 pictures in the past 2 years and all of a sudden shows up after the plane incident that captivated nationwide attention, primed and primed to the tens, using mental health as her niche. What a way to become Instagram famous. Like, now she's monetizing all this after acting like a victim in her last video. Like, honestly, I kind of wonder, was this all staged this way from the beginning? People love a good redemption story, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, where is she going to take it from here? Hi, guys. It's been 128 days. Haven't flipped out on an airline. Like and subscribe.
Although, let's be honest, does it matter, ultimately, what the content in itself is about? Like, you put a hot girl on Instagram, people are going to follow it. No matter what, like, it doesn't matter what she's posting about, ultimately. You're going to find a bunch of thirsty dudes liking and posting, and women also just posting, you go, girl, in support of.
Oh, there's like, always going to be one of those guys who's like, you're trash, you're so ugly. Hope she sends me a message so I can get to know her.
Right. Yeah, right? We'll put a twist on that. Let's go as far as Oliver Anthony.
Oliver Anthony. Jog my memory.
The country guy who just went viral for a song you recorded out in the
woods. Rich man from Richmond?
Yeah. You know? So, yeah, you're right. Does it really matter if it's hot or not? Or they are? Or their story?
Well, he's putting out a song. He wrote something. He put something out. Here, check this out. We see bands do that all the time.
Yeah, she's posting cute photos of herself on Instagram, and people are going to support that no matter what because guys are, well, guys.
Yes.
I reframe back to the whole... was that staged because that's how they were, you know, referring to him as, like, that was a plant from, say, record labels.
Oh, could be.
It wasn't.
I don't believe so either.
No, like, there's nothing, like, having gone back and looked through a lot of it, no, that guy absolutely was not he wasn't an industry plant or anything like that. I mean, it certainly was convenient that, you know, this got posted and just got blown up by certain, you know, elements along the political spectrum, but that's not necessarily reason to believe that, okay, just because every right winger who has a social media platform blew up his stuff because they really love when you take it to the man, and by the man apparently people on welfare. They really just love it when you bag on poor people. Let's be honest here. Yeah. So, of course, that blew up like crazy.
So the one guy with a MAGA hat digging a trash can for cans, he's singing, I'm no welfare queen.
No fudge rounds for me.
I have a whole bag of them.
But it is kind of, you know, it says a lot about how cynical our society is now, that anytime something like that happens, where a guy writes a song, puts it out there, and goes blows up and gets viral over it, that we do kind of question now how, well, we question the sincerity of the whole thing, how legitimate it was. Like, was it all staged to be that way? Mostly because of people like the crazy woman on the plane, who then immediately used this to turn into an Instagram model / quote-unquote influencer.
Right.
Well, I guess, I mean, if she's making money, who are we to say that she made a bad decision?
It's a bad decision. I'm saying she's a bad person. There's a difference.
Well, I mean, today's, you know, and they can't find people to work, you know, but mostly a lot of people are making big money off of the internet.
Right.
You know, that is
a new rock star.
That is the new,
now,
yeah.
Like, I tell my stepkids, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to talk to this musician. I'm going to talk to this person. This person used to play hockey. They're like, eh. I was like, then I have to say, they're on YouTube. They're, oh, really? Oh, right. Now I'm interested.
Right. You know, like the days when, I forgot where I was going with that, so go ahead. No, like, what's the reality TV? You're like, oh, what next? Well, now you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we've certainly figured that out. And we really weren't prepared for that. Like, no. I feel like really just in general, we weren't prepared for the idea that literally people, like, everyone was going to get their 15 minutes of fame at some point for absolutely no good reason.
Yeah.
Like, she's now famous because she had a meltdown on an airplane, and she's trying to parlay that into continuing to make money by doing nothing but taking, you know, pictures of herself and posting them on Instagram,
I guess.
She's
making a lot of money. If my plane was delayed and I missed something, because I'd be suing her. Like, you're going to give me some of that money.
Yep.
I had to suffer for it so that you could become an influencer. I mean, I'm going to influence your paycheck.
Yep.
I wonder, would that leave you open for that at that point? I mean, you'd have to prove actual monetary or damage or distress or whatever.
Right, damage or distress.
Gaining the profit off of it.
You don't have to prove. I mean, it's not like, you know, you say, oh, I'm distressed. And, you know, you got videos of her just, like, being hustled out by security, calling them every name in the book. I mean, it's right there. I'd be quiet about how much money you're making and how much of an influence you are.
Yep, I'd keep dead on the I freaked out the other day at work. You know, I got, suck it up, Sally. Find another job.
Yeah, yeah, you can't say that anymore.
Yep. So I put that on Facebook. Now I'm rich.
Right? Like, she got interviewed apparently standing in front of her she has a $1.6 million home in Dallas. Like,
oh, she had that before.
So she already had money, and she apparently works as a marketing executive, or was before this. So she already had money, and that, knowing that, really has me even more convinced that this whole thing was a setup from the jump.
It might be. Well, she has no other choice. She can't go back to her regular job, because, you know, her coworkers be like, I'll have it on your desk right now. Yeah, the report she gets is into a plane.
Use your own arm, Ross.
Like, but at the same point in time, if anything, he probably gets a promotion there, because that's a mighty fine mark. Like, she marketed herself to where people actually want to continue to follow her and see what she's going to post on social media. If that's not primo marketing, I don't know what is.
Good and bad.
It doesn't even matter. Even the negatives are... That's a profit to her.
Yeah. There's no publicity. There's no such thing as bad publicity, apparently, when you're, I guess, attractive enough.
Right.
Who knew? Huh. I mean, I guess we all kind of knew, didn't
we? I know why I never went anywhere.
Brother Stone's just disappointed that he never went, like, social media famous, never became a viral TikToker or something like that. Can you imagine?
Could you imagine? What? What are you saying, Sean? I almost got hurt feeling. Hang on, let me go Facebook Live on this.
Tell everybody how offended he is.
This is going to be solid state, Brother Stone.
You keep it up. By the time I'm done with
Brother
you,
you can have it now. You're going to lose everything.
Look under your chair. There's the keys.
You get a car.
Oh, Brother Stone, we don't have anything left to lose.
Oh, I'm healing. You know, two more repossessions and I'm out of debt, so I'm just hanging in there.
Was waiting for you. Come on.
Oh, thank God. Finally. Jeez. No, how long have you living this? Summer.
About time.
Let me get you the keys.
I'll sleep on the floor. I don't care. Take the bed.
This is why none of us are ever going to be TikTok famous or whatever.
The beauty of it is we really don't care.
We don't really want to be like, that's the thing. Like, for as much as, you know, people do what we do for a quote-unquote living, because, you know, they want to be famous, they want to be celebrities. I don't want to be a celebrity at all.
No.
Like, I'd rather just have the money and then not ever have to deal with the fame. Like,
yeah.
The idea of people coming up recognizing me on the street really doesn't sound that appealing, to be honest with you.
No.
Mostly because I already take people off enough that if they're coming up to me, they recognize me on the streets because of something that I said that made them angry that's going to make them about to beat the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Where is he? He owes me $50 too.
You're walking down the street with Rachel. Aren't you Sean Campbell? Oh, hang on a second. I got to deal with this. It's a 10-year-old kid. I don't care. He's going down. He's got a beef with me.
I think I could probably take him. I'm not worried about that. Well,
Yeah, right.
Because that would be that. No, it probably it would be one of your kids is what it would be. Because all the time we spent on this show, bet your entire family, like have your kids, Dorothy, like just showing up at the house, like
because of you, Sean, I had to take the carpet out.
It's all your fault.
In about 10 years from now, Sean will be like, because he won't be walking really good. He'll have a cane, and he'll be going out there. Who's out there? He was only 40 years old, but for me, he's old man. Who's out there?
Like, I'd be younger than you are
there's,
now.
There's all my stepkids with torches.
My kidneys are already failing.
It's time to pay the piper.
Well, what the hell? It was a good run. My liver's already been shot for about 5 years. Really, it's long overdue.
We're just here to see our stepdad's ashes. That's all we want. I'm using them right now. Making Adam angels in the kitchen. Okay, well, this is taking a weird turn.
Yes, it certainly has. We
angel of death.
We gotta hit a break. Stick around. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. That's Brother Stone.
Hi.
And it's time for our favorite bit of the whole week, Sean and Adam's unsolicited advice, where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them. And I think we give better advice than the people who actually get paid to do this crap for a living.
Yeah, let's do this.
Let's dive right in, shall we? Dear somebody who cares, my sister and I, both mid-20s women, have always gotten along well, but she's also always had a bad track record with men. Last year, her then-boyfriend broke up with her and moved to another state, leaving her hanging on the lease of their two-bedroom apartment. I agreed to move in to help with rent. Recently, she's been seeing a different guy, and he seems okay. But she suddenly announced that they're moving to the suburbs together when his lease ends in September, and that she'll help me find a second person for the apartment until our lease ends in February. I think she's making a stupid relationship choice, but I also don't want to live with a last-minute stranger, and I only moved in to help her since I could afford a smaller place on my own. We've argued about alternatives multiple times, and I'm really angry. Since I'm a subletter with no legal agreement, my sister and her ex are on the lease, not me, I could just walk away. I know my sister can't afford this place alone. I don't want to blow up our relationship. Our parents are mad at me. My sister's mad at me. But I'm this close to just signing for a one bedroom near work and letting everyone else deal with it. Is there some kind of middle ground?
Hi, I'm Brother Stone, and you call me middle ground.
If you really want to move in with some last minute stranger, let Brother Stone be that last minute stranger.
You won't go wrong. I can tell you that. You'd be perfectly safe.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, because on one hand, how do I put this? I don't even know where to put this, because
see, that's why
I'm looking
me.
At it from both the writer's perspective and the sister's perspective. Is a sister just supposed to be, you know, not proceed with a relationship because of a living condition? I mean, that just doesn't seem, right. That's a problem with leases, quite frankly.
Prior commitment, though.
Yeah, well, yeah there's a prior commitment.
She jumped in to help her out, too, and then she's going to just bail on her? Or, well, obviously bailing, but.
She could get her own place. Well,
here's where I find myself on this. She's not willing to make any sort of accommodation for you. She's literally not willing to, I don't know, maybe stay around, at least continue to pay her portion of the agreement that she agreed to, mm-hmm. while you're willing to literally let a complete stranger move in with you. She's willing to do no compromise. You're literally willing to bring some random person into the place that you only moved into because you're doing it as a favor to her.
Yeah, good luck finding somebody. That, okay, it's only going to be a six-month situation because then that's when the lease ends.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good luck finding somebody, first of all. That's probably not even something worth arguing about. But, yeah, for her to take off and move in with this guy, I understand that. And that should happen. I mean, if you feel that closely and you want to progress that relationship, you go for it. But your sister came in to move in with you to bail you out.
Because of that same reason.
For the same reason.
Right.
That, you know, he might have, I mean, they're talking about doing that in September. He may have to live by himself for about 6 months. And something tells me most guys don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I don't think that's right. going to be an yeah. issue. I mean, you do what everyone else in a relationship does. You just start staying over for extended periods, staying over on the weekends, start leaving personal effects over there, have a toothbrush and whatever for over there and whatnot.
Yep.
Instead of, like, I'm immediately moving in with this guy, like, all full on in. Honestly, it'd probably be better for their relationship if she does it that way.
Yeah, I think I'd go with your last option there to just say, okay, well, I'm not needed anymore. Wash my hands, get what I need, and move on with myself and let your sister deal with
that. Yeah, but she doesn't have to word it like, okay, well, if you're doing that, well, then screw you. I'm going to go off and do this. It could be like, listen, it just makes more sense for me to move closer to my job. This just makes sense. If you're leaving, I don't want to live with a stranger. This is not the kind of world we live in anymore.
Right.
Yep. And I'm going to go do that. But that's going to screw me over. It's like, well, then I guess you have a choice.
Yeah, that sounds like a you problem, not a me problem. Yeah,
it's a problem, definitely. But you know, like you said, not mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I
like you did her favor.
Yeah.
Are you noticing? You did her favor in the first place by even agreeing to move in. You didn't want to move in. This wasn't a necessity for you. You did her a favor, and she's now going to try and stick you with the whole thing. That's not how this is going to work.
Have you noticed something as a common theme in a lot of these letters is if they have a squabble with a family member, that family member always goes to the parents, to all the other relatives,
and starts putting pressure on them.
Yeah. I mean,
hey, if you're going to take the time and the effort to find somebody to fill your place in this, find somebody to fill the place of the whole lease, period, and you wash your hands and you move on, like you said, somewhere cheaper, somewhere closer to work, somewhere more more, you know, for you.
Yeah, but
or she can just find someone else to take on the lease entirely if it's that much of a thing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but
exactly.
I mean, if the lease is under the sister's name, subletting it to complete strangers, that's dangerous. First of all, a lot of places don't even allow that. But I mean, that's
they probably don't allow subletting at all. But here we are.
But yeah. Because if you get not one stranger but two strangers into a place that you are responsible for, what happens if there's holes in the wall and they completely destroy everything?
But the one
that's on the sister at that point, and that falls under that's a you problem, not a me problem.
Yep, 100%.
If I was these girls' parents, I'd have been like, "Hey, you're both grown women. You're talking about moving in with some guy."
That you've been dating for like 2 months
and
whatever.
And you have the opportunity to you ladies deal with this yourself.
What, I mean, was it 6 months?
How did you get
my
phone number, by the way?
Me and your father changed our numbers. 6 months, you said? Was that what the
She said recently started dating.
She's going to move.
Lease is up for him in September that they're moving into his place. And then, so we're talking, 6 months from the end of his lease to the end of hers.
Right.
February, yeah. So, I mean, I think the sister has to realize that her sister, the writer, was doing her a solid and needs to write it out. And like Sean said, you know, cohabitate on the weekends.
Or,
and that's also a good time to feel out that relationship because it is relatively new.
Right. Well, yeah, just like Sean and you both said, what's wrong with holding out 6 more months? And we'll see where it goes at that point because it's all new. New relationships are amazing.
And because I'm afraid that he's going to find out about my vesicle tail and doesn't want me around anymore.
Yeah. Like, and knows I was a Steven.
Right. My question there is even if she does, like, okay, so she moves in or stays all the time over there. Why does it matter if she's living there or not? Either way, you committed to pay the rent at this other place until February. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're living there or not. The lease is in your name. Yep. I'm not taking over the full lease on a place that is not in my name that I don't want to really be here on. You're going to pay your part of the lease until February. Yep. If that's a problem for you, then, well, that's something you can deal with breaking the lease. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You tell them. But, you know, maybe that's a safety net for the other sister. Like, now she's.
If it doesn't pan out, I'll have a place to go.
I'll have a
place
to return.
Well, then she should just keep paying her half of the rent.
Yep. It goes back to you. Listen, as part lease of this unit, I'm only paying this amount of money. You figure out where the rest of it's coming from.
Right.
Technically, I'm not on the contract at all. So you're lucky you're getting any money from me.
Yep. It's not going to affect my credit. Buenas noches.
It's gonna suck to be you, I suppose. Oh, let's go ahead and get into another one of these real quick, shall we?
Sure.
Here's one that's a little less high stakes than the last one. Okay. Dear somebody who cares.
Oh, boy.
Shortly after we moved in together, I noticed that my husband had a problem with chocolate. If there's any in the house, he will eat it all. I will keep a bag of candies in the fridge and eat one a day. He'll eat the entire bag in one sitting. I bought him his own bag, thinking this would alleviate the problem, but it did not. If I do not eat whatever chocolate I purchase immediately, it will be gone the next day. Entire bags of Halloween candy that we bought for kids, gifts that other people buy me that I don't get to eat a single piece of. I even tried buying chocolate he doesn't like, and he still ate it. He says I will buy you more, but he never does, and it does not help when I go to the cabinet thinking it's there and it's gone. He knows he should not be doing it because he does it when I'm not here. It's not like he eats it in front of me. I've always shared with him, told him to have some, but please leave me a few pieces. Nope, he won't do that. He gets defensive and says I'm the wrong and that I should just not bring it into the house. I can think of no other way but to lock it up. Any advice?
Good thing
they don't keep guns in the house.
All right, my advice is maybe you shouldn't make promises you couldn't keep either.
Yeah, when you're eating chocolate a lot, it's to satisfy some other urges that maybe he's not getting.
I don't think that's what it is, though. I think maybe you're projecting a bit because, like, whatever conversation you need to have with Dorothy when you get home is a whole separate thing. But that being said, apparently, yeah, you're just gonna have to buy a candy safe.
Buy smaller bags of candy, or start eating all of your candy.
Just don't tell him you bought it. Have your own little stash.
Yeah.
And the thing is, as annoying, definitely annoying. This would certainly be annoying if I was dealing with this. Anybody would be annoyed. But there's worse vices he could have.
Oh, I don't think it's the issue that he eats that he eats so much chocolate. I don't think that's the problem. The problem is that he's eating every single morsel of it in the house and not leaving the person who bought it any.
He's probably like 800 miles. Why'd you bring it to the house? It's your fault.
I eat so much chocolate, baby.
I know you brought some chocolate. It smells like dark chocolate. Okay, hang on a second. Let me get
you. Don't even like dark chocolate.
I don't care. It's chocolate. It's chocolate. I'll still eat it.
Yeah, give me the
bacon
chocolate. They become
chocolate in the later years, you know.
You don't want bacon chocolate. Here, I'm home. Yeah, let's just dip that banana in the bacon chocolate. There you go. There we go. And just smirk around there. Oh, thank you very much.
Apologize to Elvis?
Yeah. Wow, yeah. Elvis makes the first apology on the list.
Boom.
There goes the king. What, he died like on the 16th of this month?
Was it?
Yeah.
It was.
And so, you know, she's got to be like, got a sponge on a stick, just cleaning him. I don't know why you got to eat all the chocolate. Because it's there. You know, doctor says you're going to have to take your foot.
Is it dark chocolate or milk chocolate?
It doesn't matter. Any kind. Even if he doesn't like chocolate, he'll eat it. So
for the elderly, dark chocolate is kind of better.
I like dark chocolate.
I do, too.
It's supposed to be healthier for you, but, I mean,
it's still chocolate at the end of the day, so it's not that healthy.
Oh, no.
So clearly it sounds like what you need is a mini fridge with a lock on it that he doesn't have a key to. Yeah. That's
exactly
the only solution here, because he comes back. My question is, he's all bloodied. He's got a sledgehammer. Chocolate covered his face.
Well, you really made me work for that one.
I love your challenge.
He went and bought a settling torch at Harbor Freight. He broke the thing out of immediately, but
he's bringing down the goggles, about ready to spot weld. Dude, he's a cutting torch. Oh, you're home early.
What is it that...
How far is this man willing to go to deny you chocolate?
Willy Wonka on the DVD player just blasting at 10.
She might need to ask what it is that she's eating of his that he don't like her eating so much. You know, that tit for tat kind of thing?
Yeah. Is this just a revenge thing he's doing? Like, you've been drinking all my booze, so I'm going to eat all your chocolate. What do you think about that?
I regret nothing.
Apparently, you just need to lock up. He needs to lock up his whiskey, and you need to lock up your chocolate. That's the only possible solution, I think, at this point.
I mean, it's got to be it's annoying, super annoying, But there's definitely bigger problems to have.
Oh, man.
He's not cheating on you. He's not coming home drunk.
You just can't leave any chocolate in the house for yourself ever. Like, you want, you're going to have to go to the store and buy it right that moment because otherwise.
Eat it on the way home.
You know, my mom was a bigger woman throughout life, and her sister was as well. And they'd always do these little competitions to see who could lose the most weight. And then at the end of the month, whoever lost the most weight had to buy the other one had to buy them a hot fudge sundae. I'm like, well, that's kind of defeating the purpose, isn't it? My mom would come home and have chocolate. She was horrible. She'd always get crap on her shirt and stuff. Yeah.
You win, Mom?
She'd come home and have chocolate on her shirt. My dad would say, do you have ice cream? She goes, no, why would you say that? He goes, that's the chocolate on your shirt, I see, babe.
Yeah, you come in again. No hiding that one, I guess.
Right.
So yeah, the moral of the story basically is you hide your stuff. Yeah. Invest in a mini fridge with a nice padlock on it. I don't know.
Yeah. Like thumb lock.
Or trade
facial recognition.
Facial recognition.
Trade certain things that you're missing out on in your life for a piece of chocolate.
I don't think we need to go to quite that level necessarily. But it sounds like you just have to. Yeah, guess you're keeping it locked up from here on out. We're gonna hit a quick break. Close out this thing. We still have a list to do that is most likely going to be trash. We'll do all that next. It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio and the Voice of the Thumb, WMIC, AM 660, and 95.3 FM. Back after this.
That's it. It's over.
Jack Daniels!
It is Happy Hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and that's Brother Stone. As we get set to wrap things up here on a Friday afternoon.
Whoa. Pump the brakes, Petey. You still have to be subjected to this list. Now, this list is so diabolical that I might actually give you a chance to tap out, if you like.
No, you won't.
And rightfully so, because I think we've done this list before, but there's been a lot of brain cells that have died since that I think we can get away with this.
Like most of the brain cells have died, really?
Yeah. I have a list of top 25 bands with colors in their name.
Okay, I feel like we have done this list before.
I think we've done all of the lists before.
We've done every list that exists.
Top 20 amendments to the U.S. Constitution on the board, go!
I'm assuming 19th comes in at the bottom of the list. It yes. Somehow got left off.
I don't even want to know what the 19th is.
That was the one that put prohibition into place. Or was that the one that repealed it? I don't
know. Whichever one repealed it, I like that one.
Yeah, that's number one in our list, in our hearts.
That's right.
All right,
go for it.
White Stripes.
White Stripes comes in at number 11. Detroit.
Of course.
Yes. Another one. Pink for 20, please.
Pink for what? Pink?
Pink.
Number 13.
Oh.
Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd, number one.
I'm somehow not surprised. Whitesnake.
Whitesnake comes in at number 18.
Black Sabbath.
Number two.
Ooh. This guy's good. Black Keys.
Hang on a second. You guys are too quick for me. Black Keys come in at number 23.
Brother Stone, that's back to you.
Oh, jeez. I'm going to have to look at the page again.
All right, back to me. We're not even really keeping score at this point, are we?
No, we're just trying to get through the list.
Green Day.
Green Day, number 5. What are you pretty presumptuous there.
I know. All right.
This is because Ranker. This is Ranker, remember. They're idiots.
Remember, they are also idiots. Deep Purple,
number 3.
That's what I was going to do.
They could have strawberry alarm clock. Strawberry is technically a color.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Number 4.
Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
Number 9.
Ooh, nice. Well played, sir.
He's got the idea. There's artist name.
Blue Oyster Cult.
Blue Oyster Cult is number 6. Sean's cheating. He's going right down the number.
Blue
right
Sky?
Down. Blue Sky, not on the list.
Oh. Moody Blues.
Moody Blues, number 10. You're doing well.
tap it. Keep going.
He did the band, the person and the whatever, and oh.
Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers, number 14.
Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band.
Number 19. Hang on, your guys are too quick for me. Hang on a second.
How about, Black Crowes.
Black Crowes, number 22.
Blues Traveler.
Blues Traveler, looking. No Blues Traveler.
Yellow Card.
No Yellow Card.
This list is trash.
Yes.
How many do we still need to get?
There's a couple people with a color in their last name.
Okay.
Color in their last name.
Color in their last name, yes.
Clint Black.
Not on the list.
Well, it's country, so it probably wouldn't have been.
No, it's all rock and roll or soul.
Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam, number 16.
Pearl Jam and the Pearl Jam.
White Zombie?
White Zombie, not on the list. Should be, but it is.
This list is trash.
Yeah, right?
But Black Society label. Yeah. Black Society label.
Black Label Society.
No, yeah. Not on the list.
Oh.
How about.
I'm looking at.
Plain White Tees.
Not on the list. In fact, I'm not seeing anything past 2000.
Okay, so no Maroon 5 then.
No.
Oh, man. There were a few past 2005 that we already guessed.
There's one that's a color that's actually a fruit. I joked about Strawberry Alarm Clock. That's not on here, but there is a band that is of a fruit that is also considered a color.
Cranberries?
Cranberries, number 7.
Ooh.
All right, what do we still need?
Number 8.
That's
12,
it?
15, 17, 20, 21, 24, and 25.
Blondie,
number 8.
Oh.
You guys now have the top 10.
All right, we're not doing too bad at this. How about Silverchair?
Not on the list.
List is trash.
Very much so.
Do they count Cream?
Cream, number 12.
Oh, man. That's
Golden Earring.
Golden Earring, number 24.
Hmm. Might be a little obscure for this list, but King Crimson.
Number 5. You're cheating. You are cheating.
No, I am not,
cheater.
Sir.
You're a cheater. I thought I was going to have to give you that one, but yeah. King Crimson, number 15. I'll have...
obscure music stuff is kind of my wheelhouse, man.
Yeah. James Brown.
Wow,
James Brown. Oh.
He feels good. Number 17.
Nice. How many more do we need?
20, 21, and 25. Keep on with the names with colors in their last names.
Oh, man. This is the hard part.
You'll never find...
Oh, wait, Lou Rawls isn't a color, dude.
Oh, that's not okay.
That's not
Al Green.
Al Green, number 20.
Not Al Green.
I don't even know.
You don't know.
That's the. Oh, okay. All right, didn't know that.
It's not Rawls is a color. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, I'm wearing a Rawls T-shirt right now. Doctor, this turned to a shade of Rawls. I didn't have this looked at.
I apologize to Al Green and Lou Rawls for that one.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
Brother Stone, what do you got?
Ooh, oh, man.
We're close, right? Like
we only had 21 and 25.
Hmm.
Any hints?
One is African-American and one is white. From the 70s. They're both from the 70s.
Well, Barry White.
Barry White, number 21.
Oh, he literally.
His middle name is Ain't.
Jackson
Brown.
Jackson Brown, number 25. That's it. You got it.
Way look at us go. Just running through that list like we knew what we were doing.
Like running
or
something. On
empty.
Like you're cheating.
We weren't. We did no such thing, sir. Thank you very much. We are playing entirely with integrity.
Yeah.
Trust me, you'd see me furiously typing in on here if I were.
Yeah, you guys named a lot of bands that should have been on there, like Maroon 5.
I'm kind of surprised they weren't.
Yellow Card. So, I mean, it's...
Once again, we're better at listing things than Ranker. That's just what it comes down to.
I love going with Ranker because it's so off kilter. Because
they're so terrible at life.
They really are. I mean, we could go back to the same list a week from today, and it could be all different.
And it would all be things that we've never heard of.
What?
That's not a color.
They hear the
they
show.
They probably think Lou Rawls is a color.
They hear the show. It's like, why is Strawberry Alarm Clock at number 1?
Right. Oh, good Lord. But with the remaining time we have left on this show,
yes,
we've got to attempt to cleanse our souls. And
yes.
I feel like we racked up an acceptable apology list for having only done one show this week.
I'm proud and disappointed in ourselves.
Right.
I am, too. All of the above, really. So, in our weekly attempt to cleanse our souls, Happy Hour would like to apologize to Dorothy, Dorothy's kids, Tony Twist, Jared Goff, Elvis, Al Green, and Lou Rawls. We're sorry!
Oh, you missed a bunch of people.
Yeah,
no. The United States Postal Service.
We don't owe them an apology.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Are you kidding? If anything, they owe us an apology. They owe us a lot of apologies.
Yes, they do.
If anything, like, no, I refuse to apologize to them for absolutely anything at this point.
I better find a Solid State Radio sticker on every mail truck in Lapeer County.
And then better find a box that has the rest of them.
Yeah.
Because we ordered more stickers than there are mail trucks in this county, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I would hope so.
I was putting Brother Stone stickers on every truck. I work at Elbar, you know.
Yeah.
We get a truck come in, and we did for delivery, and so they would... We'd get the delivery off when I was done. I'd throw a Brother Stone sticker on the truck, send them pack in.
Nice. I like it. Way to build the brand. Right. I love it.
Through vandalism.
Right. But I'd also tag Solid State in it, too.
Well, you know, sometimes
good, yeah.
I mean, sometimes you got to, you know, vandalism is just what you got to do to build the brand. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, go.
We got to go, though. Stick around. An hour of local original music comes your way next on a little show we like to call Sessions.
Whoop.
All being well. Talk to you Monday at 3. See ya.